Lord, silence all voices but your own, that we may feel your presence and trust your faithful love. Amen. The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation.'" He also said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." The response is a prayer, or at least part of a prayer that we know by heart. There's something wonderful about the way Christians gather around some version of this prayer. But I don't think Jesus was trying to hand us a set of all-purpose words. If this was the penultimate prayer, you'd think that the scriptural record would be consistent, but Matthew and Luke give different versions. If you go to the Bible for set formulas and techniques, you will often be disappointed. Jesus gives the skeleton of a prayer. There's not a lot of flourish here in the words, and we don't have to be a psalmist to pray. What Jesus offers is a set of brash demands to God, actually, right? Bring us, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. We want to live in your kingdom here on earth. Back in my nonprofit days, I was assisting a Christian educator with a program for teens on sexual abuse and dating violence. About 7 parents and their adolescents were standing in a circle, closing out an awkward evening of video and discussion. The director turned to one of the mothers and asked her to close us in prayer. The mother's panic was palpable. An otherwise wonderful young man, her son, started snickering. And this woman, completely out of character with her grace, turned to him and said, "Well, then you do it." She proceeded to offer a perfectly acceptable prayer, even if it was a bit hesitant instead of brash. It has been my experience then that more people than not are very uncomfortable with prayer, at least prayer out loud. No judgment here. I spent a great deal of my life the same way. I still prefer to have warning and a chance to craft a purposeful, hopefully articulate prayer. As a child, the only prayers we prayed were memorized, more poems for God, really. In my first year of seminary, when the professors would ask one of the students to pray, we all looked sheepishly at each other and buried our heads in our Bibles. Someone would eventually volunteer, but you could tell often in these voices, these voices of people who were preparing to lead public worship for a vocation, you could hear in their voices fear of judgment, even failure. God may not expect perfection, but what about those professors, other students, congregation members? We worry that our prayers won't be poetic, won't have the right words, or that we'll use the God words inappropriately. Writing about this passage, Matt Skinner, a Presbyterian New Testament professor, one of my favorite theologians, says, "It's a very personal and intimate thing, one's prayer life. Getting started at praying is less like learning to drive a car, play the banjo, or even how to preach. For most, it is more like, I love this, more like learning to kiss. You learn by watching others do it. You learn some by watching others do it. You should be discerning about whom you allow to teach you. You certainly make mistakes. And maybe you always worry deep in your head that you might be doing it wrong." Jesus teaches us to pray by teaching us about the one to whom we pray. His life is a demonstration of how generous and compassionate God is. Jesus' life shows us what God cares about and about God's power to bring the kingdom that reflects those concerns. The disciples, of course, knew how to pray. They were Jewish, after all, and Jews have many prayers. Like Christians, they pray often on their own. The words Jesus offers here and elsewhere have roots in Jewish prayer. We all silently offer up thoughts to God, even if we think our words could be more formal or fancy or frequent. Why is it so hard to share our prayers with each other? I wonder if the formality of our worship and our King James-like language doesn't set a standard we can't meet in our everyday addresses to God. I was just thinking about that with our opening hymn. Wow, King James words, right? I'm sure God appreciates great prose if that be your gift, but God is equally pleased by our halting, broken, rambling, heartfelt utterances. Professor Skinner goes on to say that to pray is to articulate a theology. That is, to pray is to put words on what we believe about the one who is our audience. Is that what we are afraid of deep down? Right off the bat, a prayer spoken aloud admits to anyone who can hear that you believe there is a God, and that God is not pretend. That's brash in these rational days. All by itself, it's a bold move, but an out loud prayer goes even further. It is an admission that you believe the absurd notion that the God of the universe is listening and cares what you have to say. Further, to begin a prayer, "Our Father," or "Our Mother," if you are more comfortable with that, is a powerful statement that God is like a parent, always anxiously awaiting a conversation with you. wanting to share your joys and fears and mundane thoughts, ready to comfort and help and just plain accompany. Is that who you believe God is? Jesus did. And he makes his point in this parable. A neighbor bangs on the door. Someone has popped in on him at midnight, and he has no food. Hospitality even to the stranger, the foreigner residing in the land, the one traveling through, is a value held as an obligation in the Middle East, in Jesus' time and still today. It is a religious imperative, which explains the masses of immigrants living across the border in Iran and Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey, Yemen. These countries take in a higher number of refugees by far than most other countries. It doesn't matter how hard it is. That is what you do. You care for the stranger in your midst to the best of your ability. Among these people, to do otherwise would bring deep shame, and that is not who they are. And that's the point in this, one of the points in this story is it would be unthinkable that this neighbor would not have gotten up at midnight, opened the door, and gotten the bread that the man needed. And so the man in Jesus' story pounds and pounds. He isn't worried about being foolish or being obnoxious or making his neighbor mad. He isn't worried about being put to shame for not feeding the traveler at his door. The man is worried about being put to shame for not feeding the traveler at his door. The man is desperate for his neighbor to open the door and give him what he needs to fulfill the commands of God and his society. When he bangs loud enough and long enough, even his reluctant, sleepy neighbor opens the door and helps. How much more so our God, is Jesus' point. How much more so our Father, who hears when we call out, who gives us what we need, who forgives us, who keeps us from temptation, and expects us to do the same. Our loving parent will not leave us out in the cold, hungry and full of shame, or imprisoned by evil. No, Jesus assures us and shows us to whom more than how to pray. And we can boldly pray because God is waiting to wrap you in the divine arms and hug you tightly. God is merciful, crying until you see your need for mercy. God is weeping, watching the injustice in our communities, our nations, our world, and waiting for his chosen people to do something about it. If we don't know how, we are to ask, and it will be given. To seek, and we'll find. To knock, and the door will be opened to us. God pounds on the door of our hearts until we live as if this world and everything in it, including us, belong to God. God aches for a world where crying and mourning is no more. Do you really think God cares how beautiful, how fancy, how theologically correct your words are? God is just waiting for you to knock, waiting with an open door to welcome you in for a chat. May you believe and walk in. Amen.